All right, get ready, because this deep dive, takes us to ancient Egypt. Some pretty amazing prophecies from the book of Ezekiel. We're looking at this lecture transcript, and it breaks down like his predictions about what was going to happen to some big Egyptian cities.
It's really interesting how these prophecies, they line up with like actual historical events, sometimes even like centuries after they were,
Yeah,
given.
we're talking about cities like Memphis, which was that first capital of like a united Egypt, right? And then Thebes, which is like full of all these incredible ancient monuments that you can still go see today. And get this, there's even this like prediction about who would rule Egypt.
Really makes you wonder, how in the world could someone living in the 6th century BC, how could they predict these things that wouldn't happen for hundreds of years?
Yeah, that's wild. Okay, so before we get into like the specifics of all those prophecies, can you like set the stage for us a little bit? Like, who was this Ezekiel guy? What was going on in the world when he was like giving these prophecies?
Okay, so Ezekiel, he was a priest and a prophet. And he lived during like a really crazy time in ancient history, right? We're talking the 6th century BC. And he was one of the Jewish exiles who was taken to Babylon after King Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed
Yeah,
Jerusalem.
Nebuchadnezzar. Didn't he also conquer Egypt? Like, he seems like a pretty big deal in all this, like shaping these events that Ezekiel's talking about.
Oh, yeah, he was huge. For sure. To understand these prophecies, I think you really have to understand Nebuchadnezzar's conquests. He was a powerful dude, and what he did had a direct impact on everything Ezekiel was predicting.
Gotcha. Okay, so before we go any further, I think we should step back for a second and talk about this whole predictive prophecy thing in the Bible. What does that even mean?
You're right. That's a good point. So, in the Bible, predictive prophecy, it basically means pronouncements about stuff that's going to happen in the future, often way in the future, right? And these pronouncements are believed to be like divinely inspired. So the idea is that God, being outside of time, he knows what's going to happen and reveals this to certain prophets, like Ezekiel.
So it's not like fortune telling or like just making good guesses, right?
Oh.
It's more like tapping into something that we don't really understand as humans.
Exactly. And when these prophecies come true, it's often seen as like proof of God's power and that he knows everything, right? And it also kind of validates the prophet as legit.
Makes sense. Okay, speaking of validation, Ezekiel had some pretty intense things to say about Memphis. He predicted that they'd destroy all the idols and images there, right?
In Ezekiel 30:33, and he says, "I will destroy the idols and put an end to the images in Memphis." And you got to remember, at this time, Memphis was this huge, massive city, tons of history, really important for their religion. I mean, it had been around for centuries, right? It was a major center of power and culture.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Knowing all that, it really makes you think about this prophecy differently, you know. It's not just about tearing down some statues. It's like challenging like the core of their whole civilization.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a really bold move to say something like that about Memphis. And here's where it gets really interesting. It's not like the prophecy happened overnight. It actually played out over centuries, and it wasn't really what you'd expect.
Okay, you've got to tell me what happened.
Okay, so centuries after Ezekiel gives this prophecy, the Arab conquerors come to Egypt. It's the 7th century AD, and they decide to build a new capital city, Cairo. And guess what they used to build it?
Wait, let me guess. They used like the stones and stuff from the ruins of Memphis.
You got it. They basically took Memphis apart to create Cairo. And I mean, this led to Memphis almost completely disappearing, like this massive city, super powerful for thousands of years. It's basically reduced to, as the Encyclopedia Britannica puts it, a few stones among the palm trees.
Wow, that's crazy. This huge city. I mean, our sources say there were like 700,000 people living there, and it's just wiped off the map. Just like Ezekiel said it would be.
I know, right? And it really makes you think about this idea of apologetic value. The fact that this prophecy came true, like so long after it was given, it really gives weight to the idea that the Bible is true and that these prophecies are accurate.
Yeah, you're right. It makes you look at history differently, you know? Like, we tend to focus on what's happening right now, but these prophecies show how things can happen over, like, huge stretches of time and sometimes in ways we'd never expect.
Exactly. It's like it forces us to think about things on a bigger scale and to realize there might be forces at work that we don't even, really understand.
Okay, so we've got this like really dramatic fulfillment of the prophecy about Memphis. But Ezekiel also said something about Thebes, right?
Yeah, he did. In Ezekiel 30:14-16, he talks about how Thebes is going to face judgment and punishment, and he predicts that it'll be destroyed and set on fire.
See, now this is where I'm getting confused. Because, like, Thebes, or Luxor, as it's called today, is still there. There's all these ancient temples and statues and everything. How does that fit with what Ezekiel said?
That's a great question, and it brings up this idea of partial fulfillment and prophecy. The thing is, the prophecy about Thebes, it wasn't about totally wiping out every idol or building. It was more about its downfall as, like, a powerful city. It was about Thebes losing its power and influence.
So more about, like, a decline in power rather than total destruction.
Exactly. And if you look at history, that's exactly what happened. Thebes was captured by the Assyrians. Then it rebelled against the Ptolemies, who were the Greeks who ruled Egypt after Alexander the Great. And then finally it was attacked by the Romans. And I mean, it was devastating. And all these events over centuries, they led to Thebes declining. And eventually people just abandoned it as a major city.
Oh, okay. I get it. So the prophecy came true, but it didn't happen all at once. It was like this gradual thing over a bunch of different historical events that just kind of chipped away at Thebes' power.
Right, exactly. And that's what partial fulfillment means. It's like different parts of a prophecy might come true in different ways, you know? And over different periods of time, it's not always like the simple one-to-one thing, you know? The prediction and the event don't always perfectly match up.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. It reminds me that we need to, like, think about these prophecies in a more nuanced way. There's a lot more to them than, like, what you see on the surface.
Absolutely. It's super important to consider the historical context and, like, the exact wording of each prophecy if you really want to understand what it means.
Okay, there's one more prophecy from this lecture that I really want to talk about. It's the one about, like, the rulers of Egypt. Ezekiel said, "There will no longer be a prince in Egypt." And that seems pretty clear cut. Did he really mean that no Egyptian would ever rule their own country again?
That's a good question, and it gets to the heart of how we interpret prophecy. See, when he says, no longer be a prince in Egypt, he doesn't necessarily mean that there will never, ever be another Egyptian ruler.
So it doesn't mean, like, a complete and total end to Egyptian leadership, but what did he mean then?
Well, in biblical prophecy, that kind of wording, it usually refers to a big break, like an interruption, in the usual way things work. It doesn't mean it completely ends. It's more like it's not continuing on in the same way.
So more like a big shift in who's in charge, not like Egyptians completely disappearing from power.
Exactly. Let's look at the history after this prophecy. First, Egypt was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, right? Like we talked about earlier. Then the Persians came along, then the Greeks under Alexander the Great, and after that the Romans took over. Then after the Romans, you have the Arab conquest. And then for centuries, it was ruled by different groups, like the Turks.
Wow, that's a lot of different rulers. It sounds like for centuries after Ezekiel made that prophecy, Egypt was ruled by outsiders.
Yep, that's right. And that pattern of foreign rule, it lasted all the way into, like, modern times. The Ottomans were in control of Egypt until the early 1900s.
Man, it's amazing to think about how this prophecy came true over, like, thousands of years on such a huge scale.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And it actually raises some really interesting questions about, like, how we define princes from the land of Egypt when we're looking at more modern history, you know?
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, think about some of the big Egyptian leaders from the 20th century, like Gamal Abdel Nasser, Anwar Sadat, and Hosni Mubarak. They were all born in Egypt and became really powerful leaders, but they all had Arab heritage. They were descended from those Arab conquerors who took over Egypt centuries ago.
So were they really princes from the land of Egypt in the way that Ezekiel meant it? That's a tough question.
It is, for sure. There's definitely room for debate on this and different ways to interpret it. Some people might say that because they were Arab, that means they were different from the ancient Egyptian rulers that Ezekiel was talking about. And then others might point out that they were born in Egypt and they were leading Egypt. So they think that maybe they fulfill the prophecy in a different way.
This is what I love about these deep dives. It's not just about learning facts. It's about, like, wrestling with these complex ideas and looking at things from different perspectives. It's like engaging with history in a totally different way.
I totally agree. It's like putting a puzzle together. You're connecting these ancient prophecies with all these historical events and trying to figure out what it all means for, you know, how we understand faith and history and the world around us, you know?
Absolutely. Well, this whole discussion about how Ezekiel's prophecy about Egyptian rulers played out over time has been amazing. But we've only just scratched the surface of what these prophecies can teach us. So we'll dig deeper into, like, their significance and what they can tell us about Ezekiel himself in part two of this deep dive. Stay tuned. Welcome back to our deep dives into Ezekiel's prophecies about ancient Egypt. In part one, we explored how his predictions about Memphis and Thebes played out over, like, centuries, right? And we talked about that fascinating question of what it meant for there to no longer be a prince in Egypt.
Mm. Yeah, those prophecies, they definitely make us think about how we interpret historical events, you know, through like the lens of faith and prophecy.
They really do.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of want to dig a little deeper into the like overall significance of these prophecies. What can they teach us about ancient Egypt and God's role in shaping, you know, the course of history?
Hmm. That's a good question. I think these prophecies, they highlight a few key points. First, they show us how historically accurate the Bible is, you know? These prophecies were written like centuries before the stuff they describe actually happened. And the fact that they came true, sometimes in really specific ways, it makes Ezekiel seem more legit as a prophet, right? Mm. And it supports that idea of divine inspiration in scripture.
It's like you're looking at this giant puzzle and all the pieces fit together perfectly, even though they were scattered across like tons of time.
Exactly. And second, I think these prophecies really emphasize God's power and sovereignty, you know, like he's in control of shaping history. The rise and fall of empires, what happens to cities, the lineage of rulers, all these things are portrayed as being under God's control as part of his divine plan.
Yeah, it's kind of humbling to think about that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there are these forces at work in the world that are way bigger than us and extend way beyond like what we can understand.
I agree. And then finally, these prophecies, they kind of challenge how we think about time and how prophecy works. The way they unfolded, like sometimes gradually over centuries, it highlights the idea that God's timeline and our timeline, they're not the same, right? Like his purposes, they can play out in ways that we don't immediately get or that we don't anticipate.
Yeah, it's so easy to get wrapped up in like what's happening right now, but these prophecies remind us that we're just part of this much bigger story.
That's a great point.
And speaking of a bigger story, this whole discussion about Ezekiel's prophecies about Egypt, it's making me think about like prophecy in general, you know,
mm-hmm.
why is it such a big part of the Bible and our understanding of faith?
Well, prophecy plays a lot of important roles. One thing it does is it provides evidence for God's existence and, you know, that he's involved in human affairs, like we've seen with these prophecies about Egypt when predictions about the future come true, sometimes centuries later. It strengthens the case that scripture is true, that God is powerful.
Like God is leaving his fingerprints on history, you know, giving us these glimpses into like his knowledge and his plans.
Oh, I like that analogy. That's perfect. Prophecy also gives us hope and encouragement, especially when times are tough, you know. Prophecies about future blessings or deliverance, they can remind us that God's in control, that he has a good plan for his people, even when things look really bad.
It's like that reminder that even in the darkest night, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. And we can't forget that prophecy, it often challenges us to live in a way that pleases God, right? Mm. A lot of prophecies are conditional, meaning they'll only come true if people respond to God's call, you know. Mm-hmm. To repentance and obedience. And this encourages us to, like, align our lives with God's will.
So it's not just about predicting the future. It's about, like, pushing us to live out our faith in a real way.
That's it. That's what makes prophecy so powerful and relevant. It's not just about these ancient events or predictions about what's going to happen way in the future. It's about how we live our lives today, you know, with God's truth in mind.
Right. This has been super insightful. We've talked a lot about how these prophecies point to the accuracy of the Bible. But what do they tell us about Ezekiel himself? What kind of prophet was he?
Well, these prophecies, I think they show us some of Ezekiel's like defining characteristics. You know, the first thing is that they demonstrate how bold and courageous he was in like proclaiming God's message, even when it wasn't popular. Imagine being in exile in Babylon and predicting that a superpower like Egypt was going to fall apart, right? That took some serious guts.
Yeah, he wasn't afraid to like speak truth to power. Even when that power was this huge Egyptian empire.
For sure. And secondly, these prophecies highlight Ezekiel's like deep understanding of God's character and his plan for all the nations, right? He wasn't just throwing out random predictions. He was conveying God's perspective on history and his judgment on the nations that had turned away from him.
It sounds like he was like a channel for God's message.
You know?
Communicating it to the people of his time.
Exactly. And third, his prophecies show his like crazy attention to detail and his ability to connect historical events with like theological insights. They weren't these vague pronouncements, you know, they often had specific details about how things would play out, which points to a deep level of divine inspiration.
Yeah, it really makes you see Ezekiel as a prophet who was like both connected to God and really aware of what was going on in the world around him. You know, he was speaking directly to the events of his time, challenging the assumptions that people had.
That's a great observation. Ezekiel was like a bridge between the divine and the human. He connected God's eternal purposes with what life was actually like in ancient Israel.
It's interesting, as we've been discussing these prophecies about Egypt, I can't help but think about, like, the Middle East today. I mean, obviously the political landscape is totally different now than it was back in Ezekiel's time. But do you see any connections between these ancient prophecies and, you know, all the complexities of the modern Middle East?
That's a good point. We got to be careful about, like, directly connecting these ancient prophecies to modern events. But I think there are some interesting connections. First, these prophecies really highlight the long and complicated history of the Middle East, right? I mean, it's a region that's been at the crossroads of empires and civilizations for, like, thousands of years. The rise and fall of Egypt, the influence of foreign powers, the way religion and politics are always interacting. These are all themes that are still shaping the region today.
Yeah, it's like these prophecies give us this lens to look through to understand, like, all the stuff that's still going on in the Middle East. You know,
yeah.
It's a region that's been formed by, like, layer upon layer of history and conflict.
That's a great way to put it. And second, I think these prophecies remind us that religious beliefs are powerful and they have this huge influence on, like, social and political dynamics, like the destruction of idols in Memphis, for example. It shows this clash between different religious systems. And we see that same kind of tension happening in the Middle East today, where religious beliefs and identities are often tied up with political movements and conflicts.
It makes you realize that religion isn't just a personal thing. It has a huge impact on how societies work and how people relate to each other.
Definitely. And lastly, I think these prophecies challenge us to think about how prophecy itself shapes how we understand what's happening in the world today. Like, we need to be cautious about interpreting prophecy in light of specific modern situations, but we can learn from how these prophecies played out in the past, recognizing that God's purposes can happen in unexpected ways, and it can take a really long time.
So they're, like, encouraging us to look past the headlines,
yeah,
right? And think about those deeper currents that are shaping the world, both historically and spiritually.
Exactly. They invite us to look at current events with humility, to acknowledge that we don't know everything and that God's plan is often bigger than we can see.
Okay, wow. We've covered so much here, exploring these fascinating prophecies about ancient Egypt from the book of Ezekiel.
Yeah.
As we wrap up part two of this deep dive, are there any key takeaways you'd like our listeners to, like, really remember as they think about these prophecies and what they mean? Welcome back to our deep dive on Ezekiel's prophecies about ancient Egypt. We've been on quite a journey exploring, you know, how his predictions about Memphis, Thebes, and, like, who would rule Egypt all played out over centuries, right? And we talk about how we view history, like, through the lens of faith.
Yeah, it's been fascinating seeing how those ancient prophecies, they connect with historical events. It makes you think about, like, the power of God's word.
Totally. So before we wrap up, I've got this one question that's been bugging me this whole time. We've talked about these prophecies in ancient Egypt, but what do they mean for us now? Like, what can we learn from these predictions that were made thousands of years ago?
That's a great question. While we should be careful about, you know, drawing parallels between these prophecies and what's going on in the world today, there are some things we can take away that can help us understand the world better. First, they remind us that history isn't just random stuff happening. It unfolds according to, like, a bigger plan, you know? There's divine purpose, even if we don't always get it.
So it's like a reminder that we're part of this much bigger story, one that goes way beyond what we can see.
Exactly. And second, these prophecies, they teach us to be humble when we think about current events. We may think we know what's going on, but God's ways are, well, beyond what we can understand, his purposes. They can unfold in ways we just don't expect.
It's like a call to approach, you know, all the craziness in the world with humility, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that we don't have all the answers and that things might not turn out how we think.
Exactly. And, well, lastly, I think these prophecies give us hope, even when things are uncertain and, you know, messed up. They remind us that God is in control, that he's working things out in history, and that in the end, good will beat evil.
That is encouraging. It's easy to get caught up in all the bad stuff happening, but these prophecies point to something deeper. You know, like, God is at work making his plan happen.
Right. It's a reminder that even when things seem bleak, there's always a reason for hope.
This deep dive into Ezekiel's prophecies has been incredible. I mean, we journeyed all the way back to ancient Egypt, saw how those prophecies came true over centuries, and wrestled with these huge questions about history, faith, and, like, God's plan. What a ride.
It really has. And remember, this is just the start. There's still so much to discover in Scripture.
Absolutely. As always, we encourage you to keep exploring and, you know, researching and asking questions. The Bible is packed with stories, insights, and, well, wisdom that stands the test of time. Who knows what other amazing things you'll find?
The journey of discovery, it never really ends. So keep searching, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into these mysteries of faith.